Reminded of the need that we have for prayer lately. We've recognized there have been so many of us that have had adverse health conditions. And as we've said, all of us indeed have our private moments and we all have need of prayer. Thinking about that, I wanted to go back with you tonight and look at the Old Testament use of prayer, particularly in the time of Hezekiah. I recognize there's some differences because God answered prayers directly in those days, sometimes by miraculous means. We're not able to have that direct answer tonight like they did back then. But we have to remind ourselves that we pray to the same God that Hezekiah prayed to. We pray to the same God that Abraham prayed to. And we're in a fellowship arrangement with Almighty God, a relationship because of our salvation in Christ Jesus. And He will hear our prayers. So I think we need to be reminded from time to time that our prayers would be fervent and specific and that we would pray the way God would have us to pray and remember all these things. Please go back in your Bibles to 2 Kings 18 and 19 as we consider some things about the condition of Hezekiah, and we want to notice some things about him that characterize him, that ought to characterize us, and to recognize that God will hear our prayers today as He did then. Our God is not gone to sleep. He's not gone away. He hasn't failed ever in His love for His people. And it encourages me to read how Hezekiah prayed to God and depended on God and how God responded. I believe that God can respond to us, not miraculously today, but through His providential power. But to know that God hears us, and as we used in this morning's lesson of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, I believe that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. So let's look at some things about Hezekiah that encourage us today and tonight. When you think about him in chapter 18, and I want to read some of chapter 18 because it talks about what kind of man he was. First of all, he started off close to God. People who put God upon the shelf and never talk to God, never read His Word, but they only come to God in times of need are not the kind of people that you expect God to answer. But notice what kind of man it was. It came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke those sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him none like him among all the kings of Judah who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. Here's a commendable person who, on a daily basis, served God. And he showed his faith by action. He did what he did to restore to Israel the purity of their worship. And as you see his day-to-day life, it was something that commended him to God. He wasn't a stranger to God. He didn't come to God only in times of trouble. We need to do the same thing, and that there are times when we simply need to thank God for all the things He's blessed us with. There are times when our needs are particular and specific, and we need to let God know about those times. But notice, when the Bible records Hezekiah, and He records him for a reason for us, that we might learn to trust in God like Hezekiah did, and to call upon God when we need Him. He started out close to God. Then when trouble came, he went up to the house of the Lord. In the time of Hezekiah, the Assyrian army was very strong. They came up against the 10 tribes to the north, known as Israel, and they overtook Israel and took them off into captivity. And during that period of time, Hezekiah remained firm and prayed to God. And then Assyria began to look at Judah and wanted to take Judah and send an army against Judah. In chapter 19, if you'll turn to that passage and read, in chapter 19 and verse 14, Then the Bible says, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So he had been receiving threats from the Assyrian army. The army came back after it took Assyria and began to come against Jerusalem and had taken some of the cities out from Jerusalem, like Lachish, and made all kinds of taunts and ridicules. And they were saying things like, well, we took this nation, this nation, this nation, this nation. All their gods didn't help them. What makes you think you've got a God that's going to help you? They began to make fun of God. They began to make fun of Hezekiah's faith. And they were saying, well, you know, you're so weak. We'll give you a number of horses if you could find enough men to ride the horses. You're not going to do anything to stop us. All these other nations have tried to stop us, and they didn't stop us. What makes you think you're going to? Because your God is not any different from the other gods. Well, Psalms 122, verse 1, has somewhat to say with regard to the idea of Hezekiah, because he trusted in God. So I just want to notice this one verse, and there are many verses like this in the Psalms. And if you'll look with me at Psalms 122 and in verse 1, and I'll get there in just a moment, you'll see an attitude of heart that was true of Hezekiah. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. This was Hezekiah's attitude. He had a threat to him. He had something that was threatening the nation. And he just simply turned to God about that. Turn now with me to Hebrews chapter 4. And let's read some more with regard to things that is true about God. In Hebrews chapter 4 and beginning of verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. What this assurance says to us, that if it's possible for God to be in a closer relationship with his people today than there were in the Old Testament, that's true. They were in fellowship with God, but not in the same sense that we are through Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ is our high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He had the lust of the flesh. He had the lust of the eye. He had the pride of life. He hungered for 40 days and 40 nights. He became weakened. So he's felt all those things that we feel. And if you believe and trust, as Hezekiah did, in the power of prayer and talking to God, then we'll have that close relationship in talking to God and recognizing how powerful prayer can be. When the Assyrian army came, he went to Isaiah, who was known to be a prophet of God. He went into the house of the Lord and just spread the threatening letter out before the Lord. And again, we have that mentioned in chapter 19 and verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So again, you have the fact that he recognized something bigger than himself was taking place. We're faced with those kinds of things, health-wise or money-wise or however else it might be. Life is not always pleasant. We've talked about that in class as well, and it's absolutely true. And there are times when life is just bigger than we are. I remember talking to a member of the church, a lady. And she and her husband, I've mentioned something about them before, but they quit attending and they began to drink and dance. I went by because they were wonderful people. I went by and tried to reason with them, and I finally asked her, don't you feel a need for God in your life? And she thought about it and she said, no, I don't guess I do. And I said, oh, life can be so cruel sometimes. And it turned out to be so. She and her husband, I won't go into the details, but they had great tragedy in their lives. Her husband died, and now she's in a nursing home without any knowledge of who she is. And I don't understand someone that says, I don't need God. I've been in life long enough to know there's something so much bigger than me.
Amen.
Something over which I have absolutely no control. And I feel a need for God in my life.
Amen.
Now, that's echoed by every child of God who understands who God is and what the life is all about. And when Peter said that the devil is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may desire, I fear him. He has wrought such wickedness in the world. He's brought such horrible times to our lives. And I need someone to help me overcome the devil. And Jesus, in telling people how they ought to pray, said, deliver us from the evil one. And that's part of what I pray all the time. Deliver us from the evil one. And so you see these things taking place, and you recognize just how much we need God. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 6 and 7, I quoted this a little bit while ago. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are expressed by your brotherhood in the world. And so I read about Brother Halbrook going over to the Philippines recently, and just as he got there, here came a typhoon. And a lot of them have their little shacks blown down, and they suffer much more than what we understand suffering today. We need to be constant in our prayer for the brotherhood, not just ourselves, but for the brotherhood, but also for the things that really bother us in our needs. And so he prayed. Look at chapter 19, beginning of verse 15. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kings of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, have cast their gods into the fire, for they are not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Every one of us could pray that prayer. Not necessarily about Assyria, but we know that God is the God of the universe, and he rules and he reigns. And we need to have absolute confidence. Now, I'm not saying that when you pray that you're always going to get exactly what you pray for. But what we studied in class this morning and what this tells us is that God will see that things work out for our good eventually. As we talked this morning, there are those who say that the church is only supposed to engage in social affairs to make this world a better place. And they laugh at the idea of pie in the sky by and by. But we put off the present because we believe in the future. And I absolutely know the end. I can stand here before you and confirm that the Word of God is true, that I know what's going to happen at the day of judgment, that I know what's going to happen when judgment is over, and the people of God are predestined to go to heaven. So we need to pray to that God. Hezekiah, first of all, he acknowledged who he was. And we need to be aware that we say things as Jesus taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's just the beginning. He made the heavens and the earth. And in our prayers, let's acknowledge what a great Savior he is and what a great thing he's done. I look at the flowers that are blooming, and we're known in Texas for the bluebonnets. Beauty beyond compare. And every one is a testimony to the power of God to make the flowers bloom. Isn't it wonderful to look at roses and beautiful green things? This is the favorite time of the year for me, when things begin to bloom and green shows again and the old dread of winter is gone. But God does all that. And all we can do is be thankful for that. And so he prayed about his troubles. He prayed for the people of God. He acknowledged who they were. And then his trust in God's concern in verse 16. Incline and open your eyes. Look at what we're going through. And there's a time for you to tell the Lord what you're going through. Oh yes, he knows. He knows all these things. But we need to tell him what our heart feels and what our needs are, because it shows dependence upon the Lord God Almighty. He knows. And his belief in God in superiority over idols. I've never had to deal with idols. Now I know that covetousness is idolatry, and all of us have to worry about covetousness in the world we live in. But so far as me ever thinking about bowing down to an idol is foreign to me. I wouldn't more do that than I would bow to any so-called god. We don't have that problem. Hezekiah did, because he was trying to clean the nation from those guilty things. And he had the trouble with idols. And he was willing to understand, they're nothing but wood and stone. You're the true living God. Now, I want to acknowledge that. I don't have to worry about idols, but I want him to know that I believe that he's the only true living God. We may have to come to appreciate it even more as Islam gets stronger and stronger. As they began to try to enforce their beliefs upon the world, their Allah was a name of an earth god that was found among the polytheists of his day, and he selected the name Allah as being his God. That's not my God. Amen. And I don't serve Allah. Now, some are being fooled into thinking that Allah is the same as Jehovah. No, it's not. Amen. It's not. So if by some stretch of the imagination we're supposed to compare Allah and Jehovah, I'm going to say what Hezekiah said. He's nothing but an idea. But God is the true and living God. And we need to reinforce our thoughts about that. And his understanding of God's sovereign control over all things. Well, this is a little political. Hillary announced today that she's going to run. And she's not a true believer in God.
Amen.
She's done some horrible things. And if Hillary is your candidate, I'm not trying to play favorites or anything, but I'm looking at the lifestyle of the people that sometimes run for office. And when I see some of the terrible things that people want this country to become, I get so frustrated that I retreat. And what I retreat to is the understanding that Hezekiah had. God is in control. Now, it would have been hard for the people on further down in Judah when Babylon finally destroyed Jerusalem. Maybe it's hard for some of them to think, well, God is in control, but he really was. He was punishing Judah for their sins like he did Israel for their sins. God was still in control, and they had to suffer through, even the innocent had to suffer through that terrible period of time. It may be that we have to suffer along with the evildoers sometimes because I'm in the wrong place at the right time, but God is in control. I believe that. And I recognize that God's hand is among the nations. He will raise up a nation like he did Israel. He will bring down a nation like he did Judah. He controls the nations. He controls the affairs of life. And Job made the mistake of questioning God. Why is this happening to me? Well, let's don't question what God does. Whatever happens in America, God's hand is in it, and he's going to control the affairs of life. So we need to have that kind of faith that God had all that. And Hezekiah's prayer was God-centered, not self-centered. I need to learn that. I need to learn that my prayer should cover a lot more things of what my needs are. There are people all around me who are Christians who have it much worse than I do. There are people in the world that have it much worse than I do. And so I need to be thoughtful about other people. Paul said, love the brotherhood. And we've got brethren all around the world that are suffering, and we need to be thoughtful of those. When the terrorist kidnapped a few hundred girls over in Ethiopia, if I remember correctly, wherever it might have been, I know this, is there were Christian girls among those people that were kidnapped. They had to suffer. We need to pray. There's a young fellow down in Longview, Texas, the grandson of an elder that I knew. He's got leukemia, and he's had terrible, terrible times. He's been in the hospital. He's about 9 years old. He's been in the hospital more than he's been at home. His name is Rhett. There are people that you don't know that I don't know that are suffering. Let's pray for the brethren everywhere. God knows their names, even if I don't. And sometimes on the internet, there'll be a request. Pray for someone because they're going through a serious surgery or something of that nature. I pray for them. I just stop what I'm doing and I'll pray for them. Because I believe, James 5:16, that the prayer of a righteous man will accomplish much. And so we do those things, not just be centered on what I want. And so this is a part of the Bible. Just a short time in Hezekiah's life when tragedy was right around the corner. And rather than depend on Egypt, and this is one of the things that was involved in these two chapters, the Assyrian king was saying, you know, you're helpless. Don't try to go down to Egypt and get help from Egypt, because if they're a broken reed, they can't really help you. And that's what God had told Isaiah, too. Don't try to go down to Egypt. Trust in God. And that's what he did. And the end result was that Hezekiah found peace. And God sent an angel through the encampment, and 185,000 soldiers of Assyria died in one night. And they turned and went home. And Jerusalem remained strong. I don't know what's going to happen for the future, whether I'll get sick, whether I'll be healthy. I just don't know what's going to happen. But I know in whom I have believed, as Paul said. I know he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I can't tell you what a comfort there is in knowing that I'm not simply feeling subjective feelings that are not true. I'm basing what I understand on what the Bible says. Just like Hezekiah prayed to God, I prayed to the same Father in heaven. He understood what went on in Hezekiah's life, and he helped. And according to his will, and we pray according to his will, he will help us too. The end result, I know, will be good. And so we press on. If there's anyone tonight who needs any prayers for a particular reason, we can pray together. If there's anyone whose life is not right with God, we'd like to encourage you to make it right with God, because we do serve a God who hears and understands. And if we can be of any help in our prayers or help with you, we're ready to do that. That's why we stand together and while we sing.